podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Have you ever read a book that drew you so far into its world, a story that captured your heart, and I know I'm talking to the readers out there, a story that captured your heart so deeply that you never wanted it to end? Just so absorbed by it that you didn't want to get to the last page. And when you finally did arrive at the final page, you were disappointed. Not by the end of the story, but by the fact that it was over. It was over. You had to look for a new book. Nothing could ever match up to that story. Years are kind of like chapters in the book of life. And maybe it's been a good year for you. You got married, you had a child, you started a new job. And you're sad to see 2019 end because this was such a wonderful year for you. You wish you could hold the book open just a little bit longer. Or maybe this has been a year for you to forget, for some of you. Maybe this year's been filled with disappointments and challenges and difficulties. And you can't wait to slam the book shut on 2019 and move on to what's next. You know, either way, whether the story was enjoyable or whether it was tedious or whether it was just plain average, there comes a time when we must close the book. And we're almost there. We're almost there. If you are an accountant, you know all too well what it means to close the books. Comparing expenses with income, moving funds from one line to another, trying to avoid red ink at all costs. Well, we've come to the end of 2019, and it is time to close the book. So what type of year has this been for you? What has it been like for you? I hope you're going to take some time to reflect on that. You know, I've had a prescription for you between now and Wednesday. Take a little bit of time and reflect on what 2019 has been like for you. Let me lead you in that. Think about some things. First of all, what is the greatest loss that you had in 2019? You know, think about that as you reflect. And also think about what is the greatest win for you in 2019? You know, think of it as a blessing that God has brought to you. The greatest win, the greatest loss, and then think about the greatest lesson that you have learned in 2019. Those are three easy things to remember: wins, losses, and lessons. Think about those three things as you reflect over this past year. And remember to think of it in terms of how God has led you through, how he has walked with you all the way, and what he wants you to get out of it, so that you're prepared now when 2020 starts. You know what it's been like this past year, and you've reflected well. Speaking of closing the book, there was once a time when Jesus closed the book in sort of a dramatic fashion. It was one of the defining days of his ministry. It was a day when he was introduced to his hometown, not just as the guy who grew up there, but as the Messiah, as God come in the flesh. And so he stood before his hometown in their place of worship, and he revealed his true identity to them. It was a day when he read his personal prophecy from the book of Isaiah, and then in front of them all, he closed the book, or rolled the scroll back up, as they did in those days. So let's look at that story when Jesus returned to his hometown, read his personal prophecy, and then closed the book. It's found in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. So if you have your Bible, turn there with me. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, for all that he came to do and all that he means to us today. Father, help us to understand by your word and challenge us, Lord, with your message. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the King James Version, we read that Jesus closed the book. As we see here in NIV, it says that he rolled the scroll. But in the King James Version, it talks about him closing the book. He closed the book. He gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them who were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now, you could hear a pin drop, as they say. What is Jesus going to have to say about this passage that he just read? And he says to them, "This that I have just read is here. It is now." This passage that I've just read from the book of Isaiah from hundreds of years ago has now been fulfilled in me in your midst. And he reveals his true identity. I think there's meaning in the closing of the book here too. Like a mic drop, right? Just, "This is who I am." And then he adds to it, "This that I've just read is here, it is now. All I have just read is fulfilled in me. It is why I am here. It is who I am. It is my destiny. It is my eternity. And these are the facts. So how are you going to deal with it, Nazareth, hometown? How are you going to deal with it? This is who I am." Now, Jesus didn't speak that way. He didn't confront them. Jesus never spiked a football when he was in Nazareth. He was humble, and he let his actions do most of the talking. He read the passage, said, "This is fulfilled in your midst," and then went on his way and did miracles that they could all see. But closing the book, rolling the scroll back up in front of them. You know, closing a book is a pretty simple task, right? It's done. Rolling a scroll maybe is a bit more dramatic and takes a little bit more time, right? And then hand it to the attendant and sit down. Jesus had a point to make. So here in verse 18 of chapter 4, this passage that he reads to them that's found in the prophet Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." So let's start there. That Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit has fallen on me. The Holy Spirit is on me. I am God's anointed representative to you with the Holy Spirit living through me. And I have been called and chosen by God to do a unique thing in this world. I am the one who has been anointed. He has anointed me." You know, in the Old Testament, we see that the types of folks that are anointed are kings who are anointed in order to identify them and set them apart. Also, prophets are anointed by God to set them apart for their ministry of proclaiming the Word of God. And in addition to that, priests are anointed to do their work in the temple or the tabernacle. Prophets, priests, and kings. Jesus was all of the above. All of the above. He came to be their king, to be a prophet, and to be their priest, to stand between them and God. He is our prophet and priest and king. And so Jesus says, "I have been anointed by God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And the first thing he says is that the purpose for which I have been anointed and set apart is to proclaim good news to the poor. So if you are needy and empty this morning, Jesus proclaims good news. Good news. for those who are poor and needy and hungry and empty. Jesus says, I have come to proclaim good news to you. And I have come to, the word in the Greek language is evangelizo. So I know that we have anglicized that word, brought it from Greek into English, and we use the word evangelize. What Jesus was saying is, if you are needy and empty and poor, I have come to evangelize you, to bring you good news. This is fulfillment of what we read back in Luke chapter 2. If you want to turn there, it's Luke chapter 2, verse 10. In the midst of the Christmas passage, we read these words that were read by Linus so long ago in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. I bring you evangel that will be and will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And so this was the message of the angels. Good news we bring to you, that this birth is evangel. It's evangelism. It's good news. And that when Jesus stands before the people of Nazareth, he pulls this old passage from back in old days from Isaiah, and he says to them, look, I am good news to you if you are needy and if you are empty. So to those who are suffering in poverty, which many in Israel were, to those who were suffering in poverty of spirit as well, especially to followers of God who are oppressed, who are held back, especially to those who will hear the good news and respond to Jesus, Jesus is good news, and he promises a fresh start for those who are needy. Let's continue in chapter 4, verse 18. Not only does it say to proclaim good news to the poor, but he says, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Freedom for the prisoners. So are you captive and guilty? Well, there's good news for you too, because Jesus sets you free. Jesus sets you free. Now, this didn't literally mean that Jesus was going to go door to door through all of the prisons around Israel and unlock all the cell doors and set the prisoners free. That's not what happened in the Word of God. But it does mean that if you are guilty before God and you are held in the bondage and captivity to your own sinfulness and your sinful way of life, and if because of your sin you are on death row and you have become an enemy of God because of your sin, that if you will come to Jesus, he will set you free. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That should be every believer in Jesus Christ's testimony. It is for freedom that I have been set free by Christ. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't let the old sinful ways and the old adherence to the laws and the rules that were of old, don't let those things pin you down anymore and hold you captive. You have been set free by Jesus Christ. Is it fair that Jesus can come and set free people like you and me who are lifelong habitual offenders in sin? Is that fair that Jesus can come and just set us free? It's not fair, but it's grace. It's grace. And Jesus went to the cross to make it happen. Let's continue. Chapter 4, verse 18, he says, I've been anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind. So are you blind and lost? Well, Jesus opens eyes. And we see this physically in the gospel accounts that Jesus literally, in their midst, opened the eyes of blind people, some who were born blind. Jesus demonstrated his power literally by healing the blind. I love this passage that's found in Luke chapter 7, where John the Baptist asks a question. Basically, the question is, Jesus, are you the Messiah, or we should wait for somebody else? Are you the Messiah who's going to rule and become the king and sit on the throne, or are we waiting for somebody else? It's about time we knew, Jesus, are you the Messiah? So it says, when men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? And at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news, there's that word evangel again, is proclaimed to the poor. So Jesus says, look, just tell them what you see with your eyes. The proof is in the pudding. This is who I am. This is what I've come to do, and it's all around you. And so they went back to John with the message, he's the real deal. He's a real deal. We've seen it for ourselves. It is the affirmation that the words that Jesus read from that scroll were coming true all around them. As wonderful as the healing power of Jesus was, and as much as the lives of those who were physically blind were changed radically, there is also an eternal spiritual application here that we can't miss. Because you see, if Jesus heals you and you're able to see for this life only, and then you go to the grave, and you don't spend eternity with God, it's just a temporary fix. But if Jesus comes and opens your eyes for all eternity, that's an eternal fix. And Jesus is still giving vision to those who are spiritually blind and lost in this world without direction. Those who wander through life without any vision can simply turn to Jesus, who will then renew their sight, open their eyes, give them a new, abundant life, open their eyes to new possibilities. A purpose, a reason to live, that Jesus is still opening blind eyes and giving vision to his people. So we as believers can say, you know, I'm not here on this earth just to amass personal wealth. I'm not just here to have fun with the toys and the comforts of life that God provides for me. I'm not just here to pass up time and to take space. There's more to my life than that. I am here to change the world around me. That's a big vision, isn't it? That vision's impossible apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit and the truth that he brings. I'm here to do God's will. I'm here to represent him, to enhance the lives of others by being the person he has called me to be in the midst of my life. Now that's vision. And Jesus has come to provide vision for those who are blind. Also, chapter 4, verse 18. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. To set the oppressed free. So are you helpless and hopeless? Scripture tells us that Jesus delivers justice for those who are hopeless and helpless. For those who are held back and pressed down by this world system that we live in. Those who are born without hope of any advancement. To those who are oppressed by the governments of this world. By those who are in charge. By those who are in power. The have-nots who are held back by the haves. Jesus promises that he delivers justice for all. Now, Jesus demonstrated justice by bringing his message to the outsiders during his day, right? He went to the Samaritans. He went to the lepers. He went to the tax collectors and the sinners. He earned a bad reputation because of the people that he was hanging with. He spent his time with those who were being oppressed. They were being oppressed physically. They were being oppressed monetarily. Some of them were being oppressed religiously. He went to those people and he preached a message of deliverance and freedom from oppression. He didn't go to the palace. Instead, he went to the marketplace He went to the village. He went to the public areas. He crossed over lines that many of the Jewish rabbis would never cross over. He went to the lost sheep of Israel, and to them he became a shepherd. And he still is. He still is. It's still true that those who receive this message that Jesus delivers justice are largely those who are oppressed by life. Those who feel hopeless and helpless. When they hear the message of good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, their eyes are opened and they become on fire for Him. You know, those in our world who have everything they need, are living life to the fullest based on their lifestyle that they've established, when they hear a message like Jesus delivers justice for the helpless and the hopeless, it doesn't make as much sense for them. Maybe that's why Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man, rich in the things of this world, to enter heaven. Ultimately, we are all helpless. We are all hopeless. We are held back and we are oppressed by the prince of this world. Satan himself would hold us back. And Jesus came to deliver justice for you and for me, to escape the tyranny and the oppression of the world, the flesh, and the devil. There is no way out of that system of oppression and sin except through Jesus Christ, who delivers justice to you. He went to the extreme of the cross and then the grave, and then rose again from the dead in order to win the battle over death. Jesus delivers true justice. Chapter 4, verse 19 kind of sums up the message. Right here in this passage of Scripture that Jesus read, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Sort of like the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament. Can you imagine this, that in the Old Testament law, there was supposed to be this system where every seventh year, they were to allow the land to just rest. Right? They weren't going to do any work in their fields the seventh year, that God would provide through all the harvests of the other year for them to get through that year and to leave the ground as it was. But also, during the year of Jubilee, there were these special cities throughout Israel called the cities of refuge, where people who were guilty of tremendous sin, some of them were victims of society, some of them were runaway slaves, some of them were murderers and thieves, they would go to this place called the city of refuge, and there they were untouchables. They couldn't leave that city wall. It was like a prison to them, but they were there. And then on the seventh year, the gates were opened and the refugees just walked out free. Not a thing anybody could do to them. Free to go. You might say, that doesn't sound fair. You know? But what about those who did terrible, evil things? Don't they deserve to be punished? It's God's grace. It's not fair. It's God's grace. The only thing fair about God's grace is that Jesus Christ took all of our penalties upon Himself and died on the cross. So yes, our sin has been paid for. It's just that we don't pay for it. He's paid for it. So Jesus is the visible expression of God's grace. Another way of saying that. Jesus is the visible expression of God's grace. He is the year of Jubilee for us. Right? When we put our faith in Him, it's the year of Jubilee, and we walk out forgiven. We walk out as those who are now free to do God's will and to serve Him. Though we are guilty, though we are blind and hungry and needy and helpless and hopeless, though we don't deserve it because we have walked and wandered away from God, Jesus came to bring God's grace to us. That's the truth of this passage. To bring His good news, His freedom, His vision, and His justice. Jesus is all of these things. He is the visible expression of God's grace. And all you need to do is to trust in Him, the one who paid the price for you, in order to receive freedom and vision and justice and good news that lasts for all eternity. What a great message. But there is one point that we need to make this morning. For some of you, the good news has become old news. You've heard it so many times, it doesn't impress you anymore. Oh, yeah, I've heard this message before. I know who Jesus is. Yep. I pray that to the very core of your soul, that as you read these words and recognize who Jesus is to you personally, that it will rock your world, that it will set you free to be the person that God has called you to be, to live the abundant life. But more than that, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. He writes, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ." Now listen up, church. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, why is that significant? Because how did this passage begin that Jesus read in the scroll? Before He shut the book, what did He read? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me." Brothers and sisters, if you read 2 Corinthians and understand what Paul's saying, he is saying that you can stand up this morning and say the same words that Jesus spoke. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Do you see it? He put His Spirit in our hearts. "Because He has anointed me." Do you see it? He anointed us. He set His seal of ownership on us. Brothers and sisters, we can read the same words that Jesus wrote from the book of Isaiah. Because we are children of God and because we are the body of Christ, we can say along with Jesus, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me." Those words just aren't about Jesus, the Messiah. They're about you, church, the body of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You are anointed by God, chosen by Him, in order that you might serve the great prophet, priest, and king in this world. It's not just a beautiful thought, it's a way of life. You think about it. We are ambassadors of Jesus. We are anointed ones. We are the body of Christ. We are to be like Christ in the world. What does that mean? There is nothing more Christ-like than for us, for you and me, to look for the needy and the empty. To look in this world for those who are being oppressed. To look out among the people that we spend every day with, and to look for those who are lost and wandering and blind to the truth of who God is. For us to look for those people who desperately need good news, and for us to deliver it. Because we're the body of Christ. We have the Spirit of God. We have the anointing. We are the ones who should be out there in the spirit of our Savior, our God, and our King, proclaiming the good news to the poor of this world. We are the ones who are to be out there proclaiming freedom for those who are imprisoned by sin and by guilt and by shame. We are the ones who should be out there making the blind to see as we proclaim the truth of God's message, giving people vision for a future and for all eternity. We are the ones who should be out there in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, setting the oppressed free, looking for those around us who have been served unjustly and bringing them justice and proclaiming the truth of God to them. That's who we are. We are the anointed ones. We are the ones who are filled with the Spirit. We are the ones who are to proclaim that this is the year of God's favor. So when you read that passage of Scripture, you should be able to slam the book shut and along with Jesus Say, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It's fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, and it is to be fulfilled in the body of Jesus Christ by the followers and the disciples of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we as God's people would take it to heart, that we would be people who bring good news, that we would be people who set the prisoner free, that we would be people who would bring vision to those who are blind, to deliver justice to those who have been served unjustly by being involved in kingdom work every single day of our lives. We can be involved in the work of the kingdom now. That is our destiny. That is our calling and our anointing, to be people of God's kingdom now, here and now, and by bringing people to Jesus, simply bringing them to Jesus and saying, let me show you where I found my sight. Let me show you where I was set free, and to bring them to Jesus. It's something to aim for as we close the book on 2019, as we crack open a new book in 2020. I pray that our eyes would be open to who God has called us to be, church, to serve the King of Kings, to be those who are anointed by Him and filled with the Spirit, to bring hope, to bring evangel, good news, to those who desperately need it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to us today. We thank You for the person of Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord, the one in whom we have put our faith. We're thankful today, Lord, that it's not just about going to heaven, Lord, but it's about changing this world here and now and bringing others with us. We thank You, O Lord, that You've given us Your Holy Spirit and filled us in order that we might do a great work in this world, that we might do kingdom work here and now. Help us, Lord, to understand the message. Help us, Lord, to understand who Jesus was and why we are called to walk in His footsteps. And help us, Lord, to find in our backyard, here in our town, here in our Nazareth, those who are lost, those who are wandering, those who are poor and needy, those who are oppressed, and help us, Lord, like Jesus, to preach to them the good news, that they might know Him, that they might be saved, that their lives might be changed, not just for here and now, but for eternity. Help us, Lord, to be Your ambassadors, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.